Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Soulfulpreneur Talk Radio with your hosts, Rachel Archelaus and Megan Grandelmeyer. Merging spirituality and business on the Enlightenment Evolution Network.
Hi, everyone. It's Megan Grandelmeyer here with Soulfulpreneur Talk Radio, and I'm joined today with my co-host, Rachel Archelaus.
Hello.
Hello, Rachel. And it is Tuesday, January 27th, 2015, and we're broadcasting live from the East Coast and the warm tropical Arizona. I am here on the East Coast, and we are in the middle of a blizzard, and Rachel's probably sitting by the pool.
Yeah, it's pretty sunny and nice here.
Actually, my area of Connecticut, the blizzard in some ways missed us. But other areas, and Boston in particular, are really getting hit. So anyway, hopefully we're not going to run into any technical issues with power outages. If you lose me, that may be why. So we're so excited about today's show. We're going to be talking about reconnecting with yourself. And when we talk about that, we really mean the big you, who you really are, and not denying what you really want and what inspires you and your uniqueness. So we will talk more about that in a few minutes. Rachel, is the chat open?
It sure is.
Super. So if you have a free account with Blog Talk Radio and you are listening live, you can log in there and find our show and participate in the chat room, and Rachel will be keeping an eye on that today. And if you would like to call in at any point and ask a question or even have a brief reading with Rachel, our number is 347-308-8788. And if you would like to speak to us, just press 1 on your keypad, and that will raise your hand in our dashboard. We welcome all your questions about your spiritual business or life purpose journey. And you can find out more about us on our website, soulfulpreneur.com, and it's full with two L's. You can also find us on Facebook. We're quite active on there. So if you are on facebook.com and search soulfulpreneur, you will find us there. And all of our shows are archived, and you can find us on iTunes and YouTube, Stitcher, and, of course, Blog Talk Radio. And we are part of the Enlightenment Evolution Network, and that's a network for all things metaphysical, and we have a fabulous team of radio show hosts, and we have shows on most every day of the week, and at the end of our show today, we'll have more info about that and what shows are coming up the rest of the week. But if you want to learn more about the Enlightenment Evolution Network, just search that name on Facebook. They're quite active there, and they always have posts on shows coming up. So, and a bit of bookkeeping business is any opinions expressed on Soulfulpreneur Radio by us or our guests or callers do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the Enlightenment Evolution Network. So did I cover everything, Rachel?
I think you did. Yeah, you did a really good job.
So much overhead there. So
I know.
Yeah, so we're going to talk today about reconnecting with ourselves. And I think that sometimes we are living lives where we're not being truly honest with ourselves, and where we may be feeling some discontentment or just a little lost or confusion, or maybe we're denying what we really want to do or who we really want to be with. And so we're going to talk today about those feelings, what that might feel like to feel disconnected, and how it can be in different parts of your life, and then how to reconnect.
Yeah. It sounds simple, right? But it's not so easy. It takes a lot of, you know, honesty and really looking and seeing how we feel, a lot of self-assessment to live a really authentic and connected life.
Yeah, and don't you think a big reason to do this, to reconnect with yourself, is that life starts to flow a little more easily. You kind of are going along for the ride, and I think you often see more opportunities for growth and change versus kind of feeling a bit stifled and doing, you know, the same old, maybe same thing every day, but expecting things to change, right?
Yeah, you know, we can look at it like, all right, so why would you want to be reconnected? What does it matter? You know, I see it from the metaphysical standpoint as like, okay, so we incarnated, we're here on Earth to live a life. That's not for nothing. You know, we had a reason to come here. And in my view, that reason is to bring our soul energy down to Earth, to live as ourselves. And we all have different agendas in that. We all have different goals and we have different opinions. And that's kind of the beauty of living here is that we all bring our unique strand of energy to Earth. And all we have to do is just be true to that energy and the right circumstances and, you know, things will happen to us. And that's how we'll feel fulfilled. So as long as we are diligent in really knowing, okay, yeah, I really do want to take this opportunity, or no, this isn't feeling good to me. As long as we're always acting from that place of integrity, then we will be fulfilling the reason why we came to Earth and we'll always feel good about ourselves. The problem is that we often lose that strain of integrity because of just so many reasons that gets beaten out of us often. You know, and by the time we get to be an adult and we've gotten into so many roles, which we'll talk about later, we've had so much authority over us telling us what to do and why it's so important to do it their way, that we can just kind of resent life. You know, it can be really dull and boring and uninspired, and we're not, you know, waking up with that spark in us every day of like, yeah, I'm excited about this, I want to do this. And the problem is that when we're uninspired by life, we're not contributing anything. We're just taking. We're just soaking up the mediocrity, and that's really no way to live. Nobody's really happy doing that. So hopefully today we'll talk about where the common pitfalls of getting stuck are and how you can really reconnect at the end. We're going to give you a really great exercise for actually communicating with your soul and asking those yes-no questions like, is this the right direction for me to go in? Is this the right opportunity for me at this time? And you'll be able to get yes or no answers really clearly in your body from your higher self. And, you know, so you don't have any more excuses to be disconnected. You know, you can go right to the source and see if something is a fit for you.
That sounds terrific, Rachel. I know I've done that that process with you before, and I borrow it and teach it in my psychic development class that I teach here in Connecticut, and it's such a great exercise, and I can't wait to walk people through that later because we are given those signals all the time. But we've learned to just be conditioned not to listen to ourselves, which is pretty amazing because it's kind of funny. We're willing to listen to other people and their opinion. So nobody's actually listening to themselves. We're all listening to other people.
I know. It's kind of silly, isn't it?
It is. It's like, well, I can't make that decision. So-and-so has to make it, but then so-and-so can't make their own decisions because they're relying on somebody else, and it's sort of endless.
So
do you want to describe a time where you felt disconnected in your life and maybe how you got out of that a bit or definitely at least how you recognized it?
Sure. So, you know, a lot of people know that I grew up psychic and I was always talking to my spirit guides and everything, and they think it would be impossible for me to feel disconnected, but, you know, I'm human just like everybody else, and I've been in spots where I've definitely felt disconnected, and one of them was I was about, I don't know, 24, maybe 23, and I was living with my dad again. And my husband, we both moved back into his house when I started going back to school so that we could afford it. But The problem was my relationship had kind of fallen apart. So I was working two jobs to support us and going to school, and I wasn't seeing him very much. And even when I did, it wasn't very helpful. You know, he wasn't really checked into the relationship. And so I was feeling really isolated, you know, really lonely. And anytime I would try to talk to him about it, he would just kind of tell me I was crazy and I was making things up and, you know, that he was being great. You know, we've all seen that. If we haven't experienced it for ourselves, we've seen those women who are like devoted to the guy who's kind of brushing them off. But the problem was I'd invested so much energy into him and his opinion that I believed him. And when he said that I was crazy and that I just needed to paint more, which is actually what he would say, that I was going out of my mind. I had no idea what to do. I was just so unhappy and so depressed. And I couldn't look to myself because he was telling me that I was, you know, I wasn't right, that I was lying to myself. And so that trust in me had been completely shattered. I had no idea what to do. And it felt just so low. It was absolutely my rock bottom. And I had this epiphany sitting at my desk one day, and it was so palpable. I just still remember that scene. And something inside me said, you know, I have to put more of me in my life. I was really living for so many other people, trying to keep everybody else happy and trying to meet expectations and, you know, be the good daughter, the good employee, the good wife. None of it was working. And so I knew the one thing I could do was intuitive drawing was the thing that was mine. Like, it was so personal, so part of me. And I thought that if I could do that out in the world, that that would start to really reconnect me to my life. And so I terrifyingly wrote an email to a couple metaphysical centers asking them if they would want to offer that at their place. And one of them replied and said, yes. And so I went in and I met the owners. I did a reading for them. And I kid you not, I was so scared. Like, I was just the shyest person, so broken down that you'd ever seen. And they loved it, though. So I made a connection. I started doing it at their center. And that's the place where I actually met real friends. You know, I started getting to know people who had the same interests as me. And my life totally turned around because I made that one terrifying email. And I actually am still really good friends with the owner of that center who gave me the shot of doing my intuitive drawing there. And you've probably seen her in some of my other interviews. Her name's Maya Quantrill. And we're probably even going to have her on the show here this year.
Yeah, so, we are.
Yeah, you know, choosing to put myself and my real interest in my life, really, I wouldn't be here right now talking to you if I didn't do that, if I was too scared to do that. So, yeah, that helped.
Yeah. So do you feel like you hit, like, a rock bottom before you?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Because if you can't trust your own opinions about yourself, if you really aren't sure, like if you're actually sane, you know, if people keep telling you that what you think is wrong and what you feel is wrong, that really eats away at, you know, your core humanity. It's really unsettling. And I'm sure a lot of people can understand that, you know.
Very much.
Have you ever felt that? What was your disconnected feeling like?
Well, I think I felt a lot of disconnection my whole life, but I didn't even realize that until I looked back in the last couple of years here. So when I look back at my time in college, and I was in an engineering program, and I made it through. I got B's, a few A's, a few C's, but I did okay. It was a pretty challenging program, but the whole time I was there, I never felt like I fit in. I could go through the motions and take the exams and pass those, but I never felt connected the way I should have to where I was going. Like, I didn't have, like, oh, when I get out, I'm going to do this, and I'm so excited. It was more like when I get out, okay, I'll get a job and I'll be a computer programmer, and that's a nice stable life. And so that's what I did, because I didn't know any better. I always loved cooking and photography, and I guess that was just too artsy for my family to encourage. And so I definitely had a lot of disconnection there. And I never felt like I was a competent programmer, but I was never an inspired programmer.
Mm-hmm.
I was just adequate. But a few years ago, and I know I've mentioned this before on other episodes of our radio show, about 5 or 6 years ago, I went through some family stuff and kind of broke away from some things that just needed to leave my life. And when I did that and made that bold step, things started to open up for me, and especially like psychically started to open up for me. And I was also feeling a sense of maybe like a midlife crisis, a little on the early side, but of, you know, I have this beautiful family that I love, a happy marriage, great kid, but something else is missing. And there was that real disconnect there. And psychically, I started to open up and I sought your help. And the surprising thing was I thought I was signing up for psychic development classes. And what I found out was I needed to truly learn how to connect with me and my higher self before I was going to connect telepathically to other people or become a medium and talk to deceased relatives. So, you know, who knew? I was definitely guided, but who knew that was the core thing that was bothering me, was I wasn't connected to myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I never thought of that, you know? I never thought that that was important or needed to be cultivated. And so I feel fortunate that this happened to me while my daughter was on, you know, not quite a teenager yet and into being a teenager, because it's a big thing I'm encouraging for her now is, you know, listen to yourself, listen to what feels right, trust your gut, don't worry about what your friends say, don't worry about what I say to her in the end, within reason, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's the most wonderful gift you can give to your kids is teaching them how to listen to their core being and that feeling of yes or no, or this is me or this is not me.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, the big thing that ties all that together of like, all right, so why is it so important, is that our soul, our higher self, who's like the speaker for our soul, it knows everything about us and it knows what we want to accomplish. It knows what we're made of, like what our talents are, and even the things that are hidden from us, like, you know, the things that we don't know about ourselves yet, because we're so much more capable than we think we are. And our higher self knows all that. It knows the end, right? Like it knows our potential. And it can guide us into living our potential way better than we can with our mind. And so if we listen to that little voice in us, if we're connected and we're following those clues, then we're going to achieve a lot more than if we tried to plan everything out. You know, like you were saying how you didn't really feel like you were an inspired programmer and you didn't feel connected to it. And so there's that correlation of, you know, unconnected, uninspired. And then if mm-hmm. you connect and listen, life's going to be a lot more sparkly because there's juice there. Like there's literally more energy in that direction and it's going to really excite you. So, one thing that I've noticed all my life is that living connected can sometimes get a bad rap. You know, like Megan and I were talking earlier and this word selfishness came up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so true. If you look at the people who have accomplished so much in life and really have listened to their intuition, especially the women, they are really talked down about and how they accomplished that. Like Madonna, Oprah, you know, more people like that who are at the absolute top of their game, who did follow themselves and put their intuition first. They're, you know, words like bitch and stepping on people who help you and ruthless and all of these things are used in that. But really all they have done is follow their intuition diligently and moved on when they needed to move on. Didn't just hang back to be polite. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that really had a big impact on me.
Well, you know, who's going to care more about you than you in the end, right? Because you're stuck with yourself all day, morning, noon, and night. And I think part of being happy is making sure you're paying attention to yourself and to your true inner needs and your uniqueness and your expression of all of that. And it can't be something that you're trying to please other people at the same time trying to please yourself. You have to come first, because otherwise you start to get depleted. There's all these shoulds in the world and all these other people with all these opinions as to what you're doing, and then you become depleted. Like you said, you kind of hit rock bottom. You didn't know who to believe anymore, and you weren't believing yourself. And then once you're depleted, you don't have anything to give to anyone else, which is sad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you do have to honor yourself, just like on an airplane, right? They say, put your mask on first and then help the person next to you.
Yeah.
I feel like that mask metaphorically is like us making sure that we are connected to our higher self and able to listen to that intuition that comes every time we have to make a decision. And got to put that mask on and make sure you're connected. Because you just don't know if the guy next to you is really going to put it on for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So those are for the really high achievers, you know, like they got a bad rap. But I think Megan and I can both agree that, you know, on a real level, like in my life, how I listen to my intuition, you know, it gives me confidence. It makes me more solid as a person. I feel like I'm more attractive when I'm listening to myself. And I'm not just deferring to other people and trying to make them happy. I think it's made my relationship stronger. It's made me happier and more stable emotionally. I've seen so many positive changes since that, you know, first putting myself out there moment. And, it, you know, I'm an easier person to be around now. And so I feel like it's the opposite of the stereotype of, you know, you'll be selfish, you'll become a bitch, you'll become someone who uses people. I think that's just a fallacy. And Megan, I've seen the same for you. You know, you have stronger friendships and you're more happy and creative. What has it been like for you?
Yeah, definitely. It was a big shift. Like if you are in a place right now where you're really not listening to yourself at all and you don't have that connection, when you start to make the connection, you start to make decisions more authentically and not with a should in front of it, but more like, no, this is what I want to do. I don't exactly know how this is going to work out, but I feel guided to try this or end this relationship or start this. A lot can change really quickly in your life. And so for me, it did. Like certain friends came and went, certain family members I was closer with and others I kind of lost touch with. But all of that was just part of the process of shaking off what wasn't me and taking more in of what was me. And, you know, I have new types of people in my life, new friends that I never thought I'd have, just people that I can sit down and have these really interesting, deep conversations about what's the meaning of life and are there aliens and, you know, can you talk to dead people and all sorts of interesting. I love reading about near-death experiences, and when somebody else says, I read this book or that book on that subject, it's awesome. And so this is more of who I am, and I'm just not about what's the latest purse out at the mall. Like, and there's nothing wrong with being interested in that. It's just it wasn't me. And now that I've kind of found more of, like, what does interest me and inspire me, and it's so much more fun.
Mm-hmm.
The people that they come out of the woodwork, new people start showing up, you know, and once you put it out there, like, this is me, this is what I like. And you just find you have more interesting friends.
Totally.
Yeah. But So I do think that when you connect in with yourself, there's so many different areas of our lives. And I know you can kind of compartmentalize a little bit, like, well, there's relationships and friends and family, and then there's your work life, and then there's your personal life and hobbies, and then there's your health. So we can kind of talk about that a little bit, because each of those areas deserves a little attention from your higher self, don't you think?
Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, if saying to yourself, okay, do I wake up excited? Am I interested in my life? If that seems too big of a question for you, you can just pick out different areas in your life and start with one. So, Megan, where do you want to start on this list?
Well, let's start with maybe like our personal health, because in the end, that trite saying of if you don't have your health, you don't have anything is kind of true, right? Like if you're,
yeah,
you're totally ill and you don't feel well every day, it's really hard to work on anything else. It's really hard to go to work. It's hard to be cheery with your family and in a good mood and so forth. So I do think that getting more in tune with your body and how you're truly feeling, do you feel strong every day? Do you wake up in the morning rested, or are you so depleted because of worry or a poor diet? I don't know. I think that's important. I think personally I always have eaten on an intuitive kind of thing, although I didn't realize that what I was doing. I've always trusted that what I'm in the mood to eat is likely what my body needs, because I think our bodies know what vitamins we need. We've eaten food enough that the brain and the mind and the higher self say, yes, you know, carrots are good and tomatoes are good for vitamin C and broccoli is good for calcium. And so I think when you start to trust that, that's one way that I trust my higher self is, and not listening to the part of me that says, but M&Ms are also good for you.
Yeah, I do though. When I get those urges once in a while to have something out of the ordinary that, you know, would be considered unhealthy, I often just let myself go.
Yeah.
And because I can tell in myself when there's a compulsion and when there's just a desire. The compulsion is like, okay, you really didn't want to buy that bag of chips, but you bought it anyway, and now you're just going to eat it. Like, that's my compulsion. Yeah. But, you know, like, I have a pretty strict diet because I want that. But then, you know, when I do really feel like having a cupcake or something, I won't begrudge myself that, because I feel sometimes there's an emotional, like, I just need to go outside of my own box kind of thing. Yeah, so knowing that for you, when is it a compulsion? When is it a fun celebration is really important.
It is. It so is. And then just making sure, you know, that you're fit enough. You don't have to work out at the gym 6 days a week and do all this big stuff. But it's good to make sure that, like, gee, when you wake up in the morning, if you really don't feel well, start to get honest with yourself as to, you know, why is that? And listen to what your higher self may say to, you know, encourage you to change. Like, maybe you have a friend that keeps inviting you to yoga, or maybe you have another friend who loves to go walking and you just always say no, but maybe it's time to say yes, you know? Like, look at those reasons why you're not taking maybe better care of yourself.
Yeah, and I have to give a shout out to my friend Lana Boss of lanaboss.com, because she just came up with this brilliant idea of asking yourself, what are you afraid you'll have to do when you are fit, or when you are feeling healthy, or when you do lose the weight? For her, it was like she was always overweight, a compulsive eater, and her biggest fear when she asked herself that was that she'd have to start her own business. She wanted to start her own business, but it was also her greatest fear. And so, you know, she kept compulsively eating and staying overweight so that she didn't have to do it.
Mm.
So, you know, a lot of us put things off, like, oh, when I'm feeling better, I will dot, dot, dot. Right? When I have more money, if we're talking about money, I will dot, dot, dot. But Are you afraid of your dot, 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 and that's why you're not changing?
Mm-hmm.
So just that could be a good area to go into, like, all right, so if I was feeling better, what would I have to do, and am I afraid of that? Like, am I afraid of going to the gym? Am I afraid of being judged? Am I afraid of really living my life? You know, will my spouse start to hate me if I do that? You know, there can be so much going on underneath the surface, and that's why it takes so much compassion for yourself to really go there, because it definitely can be hard.
Wow, I love that. I know there's so much rooted in fear, I suppose, when we get honest, with ourselves. So, I mean, another big area I think for everybody is, well, with their self and feeling in touch is like with their relationships with their friends and family. And like I said earlier, when I went through this shift and this kind of awakening to who I really am and what is interesting to me and what makes me happy, some friends kind of went by the wayside and then new ones showed up and stuff. So, and I did start to just personally reflect on who I was spending my time with, because don't they say the five people you spend the most time with kind of reflect who you are?
Yep.
It's kind of interesting to do every once in a while. Who am I hanging out with and why? So.
Yeah, and just so you know, I did end up getting divorced. So the person I mostly hung out with changed big time when I changed my life. It took a few years, but yeah, and now my life is surrounded by people who have similar values and understandings and, you know, value their higher self, and it's just totally different who's around me.
And it's hard, though. It's hard to sometimes see relationships end. So what do you have advice for people with that? Because I tend to be someone who can move on fairly easily, and maybe sometimes I've actually moved on too quickly, but and I look back at that now, and I see that, you know, there's maybe some friends from 20-something years ago that I could have been more patient with, but at the same time, I do tend to know when it's time to move on. And
I think we all know, you know, we get that little nudge, however subtle it is, that maybe this isn't the right person to be around, or maybe this is, you know, this phase is ending. And when you get that nudge, know that it doesn't invalidate the time that you have spent with that person. It doesn't make it a waste of time, or, you know, diminish any kind of love that was there, whether it's romantic or friendship. It just means that you're at a different place now, and it's time, it's more beneficial for you to move on. So really, when you're going through this process of reconnecting, just be really compassionate with yourself. Don't blame yourself for anything, because at each new height of consciousness that you reach, or new awareness, you're going to look back on your life and you're not going to see it the same way that you did when you were living it. You know, just like Megan was saying, she didn't know she was disconnected. And then when she figured it out, she could have gone into a really big sadness. And I think that's what happens often. We look back on our life and we're like, oh, geez, you know, I wasted it, or I wasn't awake and I could have been. But that's really not the truth. You were how you were for a reason. And there was a really good reason why you were like that. You wanted to experience life like that, so you could have the contrast of how glorious it is to be open and to reach new heights of awareness all the time. So just, you know, be really gentle. And one thing
sweet.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, that's really sweet, because I know I talk to you a lot about that with me looking back, and it is easy to feel frustrated. Like, I'm so annoyed that in some ways I feel like I maybe wasted some time in college not following more of the things that would have interested me more. So it does feel like a missed opportunity, but it wasn't, you know, I wouldn't be here today if I hadn't gone through that.
Yeah, I mean, because now, have the opportunity to reach out to people who have done the same thing, you know, and you're a leader now. You've gone through that experience of training yourself to be more analytical, and now you are the perfect, you know, really role model for people who are the same way.
Yeah. Yeah, and I do know how better to, I think, how better to guide my daughter, which I think was so important. Not that what I'm doing is necessarily right, but it feels more right than how I used to be. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah. So work, your work life is another big area, I think, where when you connect to your higher self a bit more, that can really start to shift. I know you have your soul-centered business boot camp program, and that's a big part of that is really helping people to get much more aligned to who they really are and what they really want to put out to the world and what kind of perhaps business they want to create or what kind of job do they want to seek out next, which I think is amazing because our work life is a big part of it.
Yeah, you can't separate your work from your personal life. You are the same person no matter what you're doing. And if you are disconnected in your life or with a relationship, then you're disconnected with your work. And if you really want to, you know, live your soul purpose and create income from what you're doing and be happy about it, then you have to really be authentic, like 100%, or it really won't work. So I spend, 3 months or so in the soul-centered business bootcamp with people on really knowing what their soul wants to express and matching that with what their personal preferences are. Because we all have an ego, and a true ego and not a constructed ego. There's really two. And our true ego is just our personal preferences. You know, as we're spiritual beings in a body right now, and because of that, we have a brain and we have, you know, things we like and dislike. And all of that is totally relevant. You know, you want to match your, like, kind of spiritual urges with your personal preferences. So if you're a night owl and you do your best work at night, then don't try to change yourself into a morning person. Believe me, I've tried.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. You know?
Yeah.
So honor all of those little idiosyncrasies that you have when you're trying to figure out what work is best for you, and also note those inner urges of, maybe I'd like to paint, maybe I'd like to, you know, try counseling, maybe I'd like to be an author. You know, all of those are really big clues as to what's going to make you happy and what's going to allow you to really contribute the most to this planet.
Yeah, and I do think that when you start to reconnect and listen to yourself, there's no need to do anything super dramatic. You don't have to up and quit your job tomorrow because you suddenly realize, I don't like this job. It's, you know, honoring yourself and noticing that, and then perhaps just starting some steps towards, well, what is it I do want to create? Because some people will just get a little too full-fledged into, like, well, that's it, I'm quitting and moving to California and I'm going to be a musician. But, you know, that can be disruptive.
And yeah, I've seen it happen both ways. You know, like, I've had a client, we were in a private coaching program, and she quit her job in the middle of it and literally went homeless for a month.
Wow.
Because there was no emergency plan, there was no nothing, she just felt this urge to do it, like she had to. And that was part of her path, you know, that's what she wanted to experience. So there's nothing wrong with that, but it's not for everybody. And like Megan said, you don't have to do that. You know, you can. I think for the most part, this shows up like a snowball would. You know, you get a little awareness, you make a little change. You get another little awareness, you make a little change. You start to just kind of look around you, and after a couple of months or a couple of years, your whole life is different. It kind of sneaks up on you.
I definitely feel like that was my experience overall.
Me too. Yeah.
And then when I look back, when I talk about this journey with people, even you are quick sometimes to point out, like, look at how much has changed for you in the last year or 2 years. And but it didn't feel rushed. But it is really fun because once you start connecting and you're understanding that yes and that no feeling from your soul, your higher self, your gut, whatever you want to call it, it does get easier to make changes, and it does get easier to just say no when you need to instead of always saying yes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's kind of addictive, too.
It is, and for good reason, right? Like, mm-hmm. that's a good, it's a good feeling when you have, mm-hmm. I call it happiness stacking. So when you're doing something that's aligned to you, it feels really good, right? Like, when you started going out and doing photography, it felt really good.
Yep.
Well, if you can look at all the different ways that you spend your time in your day, and, you know, we all have different sections like breakfast, maybe exercise, meetings, work, friends, dinner, you know, after dinner activity, watching TV, doing something. We can kind of break down our life and look at all those different areas and rate them on a scale of like 1 to 5. How good do I feel while I'm doing those, and how authentic are they? Well, if you tweak even 2 of them and you have more happiness in your day, you're going to find that you get really impatient with the other parts really quickly. Like, uh-huh. you're going to demand that those rise up to the level of happiness that you really know is possible. And you can stack all that happiness, and really it makes an incredibly huge difference in how you live and how you feel about yourself and your confidence and your happiness. And that's basically what we're talking about today, is just dissecting your life and saying, how could this be more fun? How could this be more me? And making little changes, and then they all really do add up.
They do. They do. So do you want to walk people through that process that you teach about you really connecting? I know that it was like finding your yes or whatever. I love it. I think it's great, and I think it's really valuable to listeners today to walk them through that.
Yeah, sure. So this is a way to communicate with your higher self, which is, you know, the voice of your soul, and is the intermediary between you living down here on Earth and the bigger parts of you that live in those higher dimensions and connected to Source. And there's a really easy way to get a yes or no answers so that you can feel them in your body, so you don't have to question, you know, is this really just my head? Because that's pretty much the biggest, I don't know, what would you call it? The biggest confusion that people have, the biggest doubt.
Yeah. Trusting it and overanalyzing, letting yourself get to your head. Like, sometimes you'll be surprised at what it is you really want or what it is mm-hmm. that's yes, and you can so quickly just fall back into, well, no, and it's like, no. Go with that gut feel.
Yeah.
Yep.
So basically, if you can just, like, take a breath in and relax for a second, kind of move your shoulders around, get that tension out, and just remember a time where you have felt pure love, like you're given the best hug of your life, you have your favorite pet on your lap, you're on vacation, you're just so happy, the sun's hitting your face, and just see what it does inside your body. Normally in your chest region, and put that memory inside your body until you feel that physical change. And what you'll notice is that often your chest starts to feel warmer. It feels more open and expanded. Your shoulders will sometimes go back. You'll feel more relaxed. That is the feeling of the yes. Some people feel it lower down in their gut. Some people feel it, in other places, the solar plexus. But it's in your body, and it will feel more open, expanded, warm, sometimes tingly, like a great hug. So when you ask your higher self a question, that's the yes. The no is now. Get a memory into your body that you don't want to happen again. You know, something that really sent you for a loop. You didn't like it. Just keep it there until you notice the shift in your physical body. You know, your shoulders come in. There's a density in the middle of your chest. You feel constricted and you're contracting. You feel heavier. All right, now you can let that memory go. You don't have to keep it there, but that's the no. So you can ask your higher self any question you want. No question is too small. You're never bothering him or her. So a lot of things that I ask about, since I'm always confronted with courses that I want to take because I love learning, is this course beneficial for me at this time? And it's important to say, is this beneficial for me? And it's important to say at this time, because if we leave it too open-ended, we could be missing a crucial part of it. So is this vacation beneficial for me at this time? Is this friendship beneficial for me at this time? You can really use it for anything. And as you feel, you know, more connected with that, you can obviously change up the question structure as you want to. But the question will be answered very quickly, and often it will be answered before you even finish the question. So know that it's going to happen really fast. So just pay attention to that first yes or no, and go with that. Like Megan said, don't overanalyze. And just one more thing is, if you get nothing, then you probably want to rephrase the question, or it's a question you don't really want to know the answer to. Sometimes people ask really huge questions that are just not ready to know the answer to yet. And I've seen that happen quite a bit with, you know, a loss of a loved one or child, that kind of thing, just really huge emotional issues that they're still working through. So your higher self will never overload you with something you can't handle. All right, Megan, is there anything you'd want to add to that? Because you teach too.
Yeah. And no, I mean, you're just so awesome with how you teach it. So anytime I can hear you do it again, I swear I just absorb it more and I know how to teach it better. No, it's so true. I think, like you said, it is interesting that a lot of times you'll get the answer before you're done asking. And I think that's because you're really, when you start to ask those questions, you're asking them internally. It's really a telepathic communication, and that's fast, that's super fast. And
yeah,
it's a feeling that you're putting out too. You know, you're asking, you know, for an answer as a feeling. And again, it's so quick, and just don't dismiss it. And just understand that, like I said earlier, sometimes you don't get the answer you were expecting. Maybe the analytical left brain part of you would be surprised, but where you can, trust it, make a change, a small decision, and then see where it goes. And like we said, it can get addicting as you start to follow the flow.
Mm-hmm.
And things, yeah. And I think that the neat thing about using the yes and the no and then starting to listen to it and say, all right, I'm going to follow that gut and I'm going to make this choice, is sometimes you'll just start to see a lot more coincidences and synchronicities show up. You know, you decided, okay, I am going to look into a different job. I'm not going to quit my current job, but I'm just going to start exploring. Or maybe you think you want to go back to school and you get the yes on that. Okay, so now you know. And then it's the oddest thing, because then your friend will call and say, I wanted to take this class at the community college. Or or somebody calls and says, you know, so-and-so is looking for a new admin person at their office. And I swear, it's like you make room for new opportunities when you start talking to your higher self.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just a matter of making room. And until you start getting honest and asking those questions, those things there's just no room for them. But
You know, people often want these big miracles to happen, and they can, but you have to participate in your life. Like, you have to show some interest in having that miracle life before the coincidences will start to really come. And I really believe in that, because we're not just here to be, observers, right? Like, we're here to really put our two cents in. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And kind of consciously create as we go.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, and I love something you told me a while ago when I was really opening up more psychically, and I was sometimes seeing, I had one really interesting incident where I definitely saw some sort of spirit, and I visually saw it, not just sensed it, but I mean, it was apparent, and it was this odd kind of fog thing, and I didn't feel frightened at all, and it was just this interesting experience, and I observed it, and I'm like, wow, that's really cool. And I remember a nice piece of advice you gave me is, hey, if you were good with that, you can just say, I would like more. I'd like more of that. I'd like more synchronicities. I'd like more incidences where I can experience this connection to a higher being, or yeah. So be notice and be grateful for those things, and if you like it, ask for more.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. So we do have a caller. So I will put you on the air. 337-202. Hi.
Hello.
Hi, how are you? What's your name? Hello? 337? Yep, you're live on the air. And maybe she can't hear us. Do you have a question? Megan, can hear you.
Can you hear me? Hello?
Hi, yeah, you're on the air. Okay, I think I'm going to put you back on mute because it doesn't seem like you can hear us. But if you have a question, you can type it into the chat room, okay?
Yeah. Okay.
Technical difficulties, but that's all
yeah.
right.
Yeah. Maybe that person's on the East Coast and the blizzard froze out her question.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she could always hang up and call back, too. Maybe
yeah.
she'll get a better connection that way. So, yeah. So what do you think, like, for the listeners and for people that are listening to the archive show, maybe we should put something on our Facebook page, like, okay, post a little challenge for the week. Like, maybe choose, don't overwhelm yourself, but choose one area of your life. Maybe it's work or a personal relationship issue, or maybe it is something with your health or the foods you eat or your exercise. And maybe try asking, you know, using your yes and your no and asking your higher self for some guidance. And pick one area and work on that for a week and be honest with what you get, and maybe even post on our Facebook page, like, hey, I finally asked myself what I should do and I made this choice, and maybe you had a cool synchronicity or coincidence you want to share. I think that'd be fun.
I love
and
that.
I should do it too.
Yeah.
Oops, yeah.
That's fabulous. Yeah, so we will put that challenge on our Facebook page, and I'll include it in the blog post for this episode. But if you're listening now, just what is one area of your life that you'd like to see a little more authenticity in? And just ask your yes or no and listen to your gut, your intuition, because you know what to do, and see how it changes, and keep us updated on that, because we'd really love to know. I actually have a good example of this. I've been looking to add a different workout to my life because I go hiking often, and I go biking all the time, but I haven't had anything to do in my house on a regular basis. And I just rejoined Daily Burn, which is really fun. They have all different kinds of workouts in there. And I'm an Aries, and I really love really high intensity workouts where I'm all sweaty and out of breath, and, you know, like kickboxing and stuff like that. And so I signed up for one of those kinds of workout plans, and I just wasn't doing it. Like, it would just go by, and it would be, you know, telling me, come back, we miss you. And I didn't do one of them. And I was like, what is wrong with me? I normally am really excited about this. I love this kind of stuff. And then I asked myself, what do I really want to be doing? And it said Pilates. And I've never, ever done Pilates. And it's definitely not high intensity. It's more like laying down and doing hard exercises. But, you know, you're not moving around very much. You're just kind of laying there and moving certain parts of your body. But lo and behold, I signed up for Pilates and I've been doing like extra workouts, you know, and it's super fun. And so, yeah, just listen to yourself. It's not, normally we're not like with such a lack of willpower. I don't think that's the nation's problem. I think it's just that we're not listening to what we really want to do. Because when you do listen to what you really want to do, it's not a willpower issue anymore. You just want to do it.
I absolutely agree, especially when it comes to working out. I had a similar experience. I was told actually by my doctor, because I was a little more type A at the time. He was like, no, you need to relax a little more. Maybe, you know, you should try yoga. And so I went to the local gym and I signed up for a 2-week trial and I went to one yoga class and I'm like, no, this isn't for me. And I joke with my friend, maybe she may be listening today, when she loves yoga, and I just sit her and it just came out of my mouth and I said, I don't really like being on the floor. And that was from the heart, I'll tell you. That's higher self saying that. I just don't like being on the floor. So, but what I did find out is I do love group classes. And when I look at that, I realize it's social aspect in me. And for me, it's two birds with one stone. Since I do have a home office, I'm alone much of the day. And so going to a gym and working out with other people with an instructor in the front that's, you know, guiding you was both a social thing and actually very meditative, because I didn't have to do a whole lot of thinking. I'm just following someone's instructions, and it can let my mind just relax. And, and it was amazing. And I tell people, some people at the gym never do the group classes. They love those machines. They make up their own workout, and they're happy as clams. I'm the opposite. But I would have left my gym had I forced myself to, with willpower, to be one of those machine people and do yoga. Like, it never would have happened. Mm-hmm. You know, not enough willpower in the world. And that's where you're just not listening to yourself. It's not, that's not me.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with you because you don't like to do yoga.
Right.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with you if you don't like to run 3 miles. You know, there's something that you do like to do. You just have to let yourself do it.
Yeah, and it may mean just trying a whole bunch of different stuff. That's why gyms have those free trials. So, you know, never in a million years did I think that I would love taking an indoor cycling, you know, spinning class, nor did I ever think I'd actually want to teach it, and that's what I do now. So you just got to try some stuff, and
Yeah. It's fun to surprise yourself. I mean, I've had... If I was going to try to plan out my life, it never would have included teaching about business, doing a radio show, having a lot of YouTube videos. I mean, I was the shyest person you ever met, but this is where I feel comfortable now, and it's just such an amazing thing to watch yourself grow like that. So it's definitely worth any kind of confusion or uncomfortableness that you have at first.
Yep. So... absolutely. Yeah, there's so many interesting opportunities. Like you talking about doing this radio show a year ago, and, you know, I certainly had to ask my higher self, is this something I really want to do? But that doesn't mean that there's not going to be some shyness and some challenge to it.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have done it if I didn't truly want to do it. But then there's that neat kind of challenge of, all right, well, I do feel inspired to do this, but I need to learn some things and I need to practice some things. And so, don't discount something that you get a yes and, but yet you don't know how to do it. Like, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of the fun.
Yeah.
Part of the challenge. But
and fear is often part of the package.
It is, but do it anyway. Right.
Mm-hmm.
If it feels right.
Yeah. All right, people.
Terrific.
Well, listen to your yeses and listen to your noes and let us know how it goes.
Yeah.
We will be eagerly awaiting, and we will update our yes and noes on the Facebook page too. So you won't be alone in this journey.
Great. So, and we should just mention that in 2 weeks, I believe it's 2 weeks, we have author Julia Asante on February 10th, and she wrote our first book club book for 2015 for Soulfulpreneur, and the book we chose is The Last Frontier, Transforming Your Fear of Death, and it's such a fabulous book, and we just can't wait to talk with her. So if you haven't picked up the book from Amazon or the Kindle or whatever you use, paper or digital, grab that book and join us.
Yep, and next week we have Kyle Cease, the transformational comedian. We are so excited to have him. It's going to be fabulous. And for the next week on our Facebook page, we'll be giving you his some of his funniest and most deep YouTube videos so that you can get acquainted with him.
Yeah, check him out. If you like stand-up at all, he's just awesome, but he's like stand-up with a little metaphysical soul-searching inspiration. It's so cool. I just love him. So
yeah.
We are really honored that he is going to join us next week. So be prepared to laugh and hear some cool insights. He's doing a lot right now.
Yeah.
Talk about this show leading nicely into him, and he's truly an inspiration for somebody who has discovered how to listen to his higher self and to transform himself every day just by getting to know himself more and more. It's awesome.
Yep. And he'll tell you how his success skyrocketed when he did that too. So
I
can't wait for that. Yeah, it's going to be great.
Super.
Okay.
Super.
Well, thank you so much, everybody, for listening. And we just can't wait to give you our new episodes that are so exciting. And thank you, Megan. This was great.
Thanks, Rachel. I really enjoyed it. Really.
All right.
Good.
Well,
so.
I will play our announcements. Have a great week, everybody.
Bye.
Hi, this is Karen Newman from the show About Oneness, and here's what's coming up on the week starting on Monday, January the 12th, until Sunday, January the 18th, on the Enlightenment Evolution Network 1 and 2. Simply put, Rob Gauthier, founder of the EEN and the host of the show that started it all, the Enlightenment Evolution Hour, has put together the greatest metaphysical radio network ever. 7 days a week, we have shows that will aid you on your path to enlightenment, evolution, and ascension on EEN1 on Mondays. 7:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 10:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time is Heart to Heart Talk Radio with your host, Daniel Scranton. Join Daniel and his featured guests discussing a wide variety of metaphysical topics. Daniel channels the creators, the Hathors, Ophelia the Fairy, Archangel Michael, and the latest, the Unicorn Collective. Daniel and his guests will take phone calls and questions, and it's sure to generate high-frequency discussions. You can find more about Daniel at his website, danielscranton.com, and also on Facebook. Go to the events tab on Daniel's website to learn more about Daniel's upcoming events. On Monday, Daniel's guest will be the channeler Serge Granbois. Serge is a channeler who's been working with an entity by the name of Chris for many years. They will discuss Serge's journey as a channel and as a human being, and he will be channeling Chris, taking your calls and questions. On Tuesday, noon Pacific Standard Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, please join hosts Megan Crandallmeyer and Rachel Archelaus for Radio Inspiration, Expression, and Abundance for their show, Soulfulpreneur. Spiritual business specialists Rachel and Megan will bring you inspiring conversations with people who are living their soul purpose. Frequent guests include psychic mediums, channelers, coaches, artists, and authors. They will end every show with psychic reading and business coaching. Your questions about your spiritual business or life purpose are welcome. Wednesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Pacific, is the show that started it all, the Enlightenment Evolution Hour with host Rob Gauthier. Rob channels Trev on the first Wednesday of each month and will take callers' questions. On the third Wednesday, he will have special guests such as guest channelers and other metaphysical teachers. The other two Wednesdays are freestyle call-in shows to discuss whatever callers have on their minds. Tune in to Rob on Wednesday nights, and you can also find him at trebchanneling.com and also on Facebook at the Enlightenment Evolution Network group page. Rob has a few special announcements. Every Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Pacific, trebchanneling.com hosts an hour-long meditation class. please go to chubchanneling.com to register. From April 3rd to April 5th, 2015, you can spend 3 days with Treb and Ardeef in Asheville, North Carolina during the Lunar Eclipse. This is a 3-day workshop on channeling. Only 30 spots are available. And on September 19th, Treb Channeling presents the Channel Panel, Awakening from Within. Channelers include Lee Harris, Sean Swanson, Daniel Scranton, Nora Harold, Wendy Kennedy, Brad Johnson, Sean Randall, and Rob Gothier. This incredible live event is available in person and also on live stream. The cost of admission is $120 per day or $200 for both days, and on live stream, $50 per day or $100 for both. Go to TrebChanneling.com to purchase it. Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Pacific, join host Philip Malika with the Consciousness Evolution Hour. Join Philip and his special guests and co-hosts as they discuss the shift, ascension, timelines, metaphysical concepts, and the fifth dimension. Find Philip at the Consciousness Evolution 2.0 group on Facebook and also on YouTube. Fridays, The Earth Experience with Kalina Angel, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. The Earth Experience explores our soul's expansion through our human experiences on Earth. Kalina will help you navigate and expand through the exciting confusions that we are manifesting as new 5D beings. Saturdays, 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Victoria Vives-Kyung hosting Earth Sky People Radio, living in harmony with Mother Earth and awakening to an intergalactic society, bringing to you greater awareness regarding starseeds and extraterrestrial life, living in harmony with one another, with Mother Earth, and with life beyond the Earth, the transformative power of music, frequency, and sound, shamanism, ancestral wisdom, and star nations, intentional community, self-sustainable and regenerative living, the interstellar alliance on planet Earth, and becoming part of an intergalactic society, and much, much more. See all the details at victoriavives.com/radio. On Saturday, January 17th at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Earth Sky People with your host, Victoria Vives-Kyung, will be offering a health-intensive sharing about the top 5 health secrets nobody talks about. And co-hosting with Victoria will be her husband, Nian Kyung. He is the co-founder of Earth Sky People and has worked professionally in the health, fitness, and medical industries for 15 years, including running a private practice in acupuncture and traditional Chinese medicine. Make sure to submit your questions for this upcoming health show at victoriavives.com/contact. Also, if you're in the Los Angeles area, you can join the 1-year Energy Healer Apprenticeship and the Crystal Healer Course for a life-changing experience. Just go to ReikiWellbeing.org. Space is limited. On Sundays, 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 11 a.m. Pacific, is my show, About Oneness. About Oneness is a weekly radio program focused on celebrating the ongoing conscious awakening of our planet and our realization of oneness. The show for me is about integrating all of my experiences and following my highest excitement, which is tapping into the truth of the universe. If you would like to learn more about me, my upcoming guests, as well as see many videos of channelings and teachings, you can go to aboutoneness.com. My guest on Sunday, January the 18th, is medium Crystal Vandenacker from the Netherlands. Crystal is a medium, channel, and Reiki master, and one of my dearest friends. The topic of the show will be letting go and letting it flow. On EEN Network 2, on Saturday evenings, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Pacific, the Pied Piper and Texas Rebel hosting the show, Disclosure Now. Disclosure Now is the On the Edge of Our Seats show that covers all topics of disclosure, from the world's most famous and obscure UFO cases to cryptozoology, conspiracy, and all things that go bump in the night. Pied Piper started his journey in Michigan in 1993 as a preteen seeing Bigfoot and never could get enough in investigating all things paranormal. Texas Rebel is a wild Texas man who loves the same journey and has studied these same things for years. Join them as they cover all things in the human experience that just cannot be answered by anyone. And remember, you never have to miss any show on the Enlightenment Evolution Network 1 or 2. All shows are available to listen to immediately after they air on playback. Or you can go to the Enlightenment Evolution Network YouTube page and see all shows after they air. All right, back to the show.